Good afternoon and welcome to the May Quarterly All-In Payments Call. My name is Catherine Jett. I'll be your moderator for today's call. Let's move to the next slide, please. At this time, we will go over some general logistics and housekeeping items. Today's call is scheduled for 60 minutes, and it is being recorded and transcribed. As a reminder, for the ticket program agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection 1, Ian's staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. All post-call items from today's call, which include the transcript, audio, presentation, and recap, will be available in 2 weeks on the Your Ticket to Work website under Training and Events. A Gov Delivery Blast will also be sent out after all items are posted to the website. So please feel free to ask questions in the MS Teams chat section. Today, we'll have an interactive question and answer session during the call. At the conclusion of the presentation, instructions for navigating the Q&A session will be provided again before the Q&A. If you would like to ask a question during the Q&A and are joining via phone, you'll raise your hand utilizing star 5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. You'll then press star 6 to unmute yourself. Now, if you're joining via the MS Teams application, you'll merely click on the raise hand icon. You'll be unmuted by the facilitator. Then to finish unmuting, you'll need to click your microphone at the top of the Teams window. Then your audio will be active. Remember to please limit questions to one per participant per raised hand, not duplicating questions. Another reminder regarding questions. If you have a ticket holder specific question, please feel free to reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Also, feel free to reach out for any additional questions or comments. Today, we have closed captioning available. We have it via the Teams application, and we also have it via a closed caption link provided in the chat. So to turn on closed captions in Teams, if you'll go to the three ellipses at the top of the MS Teams window, click on More, scroll down to Language and Speech, and select Turn on Live Captions. Now, when using the live closed caption link provided in the chat, please copy the link, paste it into a browser window, and click Enter. Then you'll see the screen populate to view closed captions. We thank you in advance for your participation. Next slide. And we'll go over today's agenda. Today's agenda will cover the following topics. We have ePay file stats, ePay reminders, EM Payments Help Desk reminders and tips, EM Payments reminders. We will also provide some helpful resources. Then we'll move into the interactive Q&A session. After our interactive Q&A, we'll move to the closing remarks. Now, at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce the TPM EM Payments Manager, Nicole Black. Take it away, Nicole.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome, everyone. Next slide, please. We want to start off today's call with some ePay file stats. The last ePay file was completed in March of this year, and for that ePay file, we processed 14,570 claims, and we paid 4,191 SSNs, totaling $842,549. Sorry about that. And we recently started processing the April 2024 ePay file on May 1st. Next slide, please. So a few ePay reminders for you all. Phase 1, Milestone 4, is paid via ePay, but EANs must still submit payment requests for all Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay, and EANs must have passed their annual services and supports review. In addition to that, the ePay file is processed in SSN order, not by provider ID. And then Phase 1, Milestone 4, Phase 2 milestones and outcomes are paid via ePay. EINs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal when the EIN portion of the ePay file is being processed. Doing so and submitting these types of payments will slow down the process and it can cause duplicate claim months. Next slide, please. If you submit a request for a Phase 1 Milestone 4, Phase 2 milestones or outcomes during ePay, that SSN will not be processed until it comes up on the ePay list. PII violations will remove your EIN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file. But during this time, if that happens, you must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. So for example, if an EIN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, say February, they will be removed from the next ePay file, which would have been this April file. All right, next slide, please. And with that, I will turn it over to Sharday Jenkins, our Payments Help Desk Manager.
Thank you, Nicole. Good afternoon. So Payment Help Desk reminders and tips. The first is manual payment requests. It is mandatory for EINs to submit all payment requests via the ticket portal. Exceptions apply to the rules below. If an EIN is terminated, the ticket is unassigned, EIN has not been approved for ticket portal access, EIN receives an error when attempting to submit a payment request via the ticket portal. The EIN should contact the provider support help desk for assistance. EINs must provide all necessary documentation when submitting a payment request, your EIN payment request form, and proof of earnings. Next slide, please. Payment inquiries. All communication regarding ticket holders and employment networks must be with suitable EIN staff that is approved portal users, program contacts, and signatory authority only. EIN payment resources. Just a reminder, the website does contain the EIN payment training and learning modules for submitting your first payment and the payment process, EIN payment checklist guide, the 2024 payments at a glance, 18-month look-back tool, and the 2024 monthly earnings estimated tool. Again, these forms can be found on the Your Ticket to Work website. Thank you, and I'll hand it back to Nicole.
Thank you, Sharday. Now I will transition to EIN payment reminders. So the first one is the proof of relationship. So as a reminder, EINs must provide proof of relationship when requesting payments for Phase 1 milestones 1 through 3. Proof of relationship is established with pay stubs. That's the best practice. Or a completed proof of relationship form detailing the services provided to the ticket holder with the dates the services were provided. Proof of relationship does include pay stubs, as I previously mentioned, or the proof of relationship form, and it must be received at the time of the payment request or it will be denied. If this happens, EINs will have 3 opportunities to provide the required proof of relationship for the requested milestones before the ticket is unassigned. Next slide, please. So some examples of what would be considered acceptable proof of relationship services. The EIN had a discussion with the ticket holder providing transportation assistance or job coaching. You discussed work incentives with the ticket holders, or you provided information regarding benefits planning, or even spoke with the ticket holder and everything is actually going okay with their job. Or you may have emailed the instructions on how to report their wages to Social Security. The key takeaway for the acceptable proof of relationship services when you're documenting this information is to make sure you include the method of the communication. Was it an email? Was it a phone call? We do need that information so that we see that this information is being provided and the way it was provided to the ticket holders. Unacceptable services would include called and left a voicemail for the client to call back, or sent email to client requesting they mail in their pay stubs, or just send an email with no additional information, or send an email to client to update contact information, or just reported earnings. So what we're looking for are things that are specific to providing the proof of relationship for services that help to enhance that ticket holder's experience with Ticket to Work and help to enhance their situation with their job or their job search. Next slide, please. So the next reminder is earnings already proven. When submitting phase one milestones, 1 through 3 payment requests, EINs must submit pay stubs or a completed proof of relationship form with the detailed services provided for the requested milestone period. Keep in mind the portal does use earnings from multiple sources to verify earnings, and it truly serves as a point of reference for you. This does not, however, guarantee payment. Payment requests are reviewed and adjudicated based upon real-time earnings data reported in Social Security's database. The next reminder is the employer-prepared earnings statement. So this statement is one of 3 types of documentation Social Security recognizes as primary evidence of earnings to support your request for payment. As a reminder, this statement must be signed by the ticket holder's employer, not the EN, not someone that works at the EN Employment Network, nor can it be signed by the ticket holder. It has to be signed by someone who actually works at their place of employment. So one of the employer representatives is who needs to sign this statement. Next slide, please. All right. Well, that was the end of our agenda. So we would like to remind you guys, we want to make these calls relevant to you and provide you with information that is going to benefit you. So we invite you to share topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures that are related to payments. Please be sure to send these topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. And we have some resources that we would like to remind you of. You can always call us on the phone, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. The toll-free number is 866-949-3687 or 866-833-2967. Option 1 gets you to the beneficiary help desk. Option 2, the EN payments help desk. And option 3 is the systems help desk. Or you can reach us by email. For payment issues, the email address is enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And if you have questions or issues that are related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the ticket portal, the email address would be ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And with that, I will hand it back over to Catherine.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you very much. We'd like to thank you and Charday for those helpful tips and updates. Next slide, please. We will now transition to the interactive Q&A session. As a reminder, to ask a question over the phone, please raise your hand by selecting *5 on your phone. And when you're called on, you'll be unmuted by the facilitator and you'll need to press *6 to unmute yourself. For participants joining on the MS Teams application, please raise your hand by selecting the raise hand icon at the top of the Teams window. You'll be called on by the facilitator. Next, you'll need to click on your microphone at the top of the Teams window to unmute. At this time, let me see. I saw we had a raised hand a moment ago. We'll ask Rebecca to help us identify our first participant with a question.
Yes, our first question comes from Angela Sampson. Your audio and your microphone is active. You can click or hit the unmute to activate your video and ask your question.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. My question, If text message, email, calls, repeated calls, voicemail messages, all of these things are done to try to reach out to the client and no response, then what is the next resort and what would be considered an acceptable contact if these are not acceptable?
Hi, Angela. Thank you for your question. So I want to clarify your question to make sure that I'm answering it appropriately. Are you speaking specifically as it relates to how to document your contacts with the ticket holders for in order to receive your payments?
Yes. Yes. Okay, and also perfect. for reporting purposes also.
Okay. So for the reporting purposes, I'll go ahead and answer that part first. That's specifically something that has to be taken up with the with program integrity, or you can reach out to the EN service team. They can assist you to clarify that information for you. But specifically related to payments, we do not accept text messages. It has to be an email or a phone call. And what you would do is you would document sent ticket holder information via email regarding a job fair. Or I spoke to the ticket holder on the phone and they indicated that everything was going well with their new job. So we just need to know what you sent them. It can't just be a blanket statement, sent email, left a message. We need to know what it was that you discussed or you tried to articulate to that ticket holder so that we can continue to move them on in the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is it necessary, excuse me. Well, I guess this question would go to Ian support, to be honest with you, because I'm trying to figure out, is it acceptable or is it something that's necessary to send like certified mail or something like that to confirm that you've done all that you can to reach out to the client and the client just has not and will not respond to you?
That is a question for the EN service team. They can walk you through the steps that you need to take to address those situations.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Angela. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Angela. And Rebecca, do we have another raised hand?
We do. And our next question comes from James. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for this information. It's incredibly helpful as a new EN to learn more about how to go about these processes, so I appreciate the time you guys take to do this. My question is very specific for our new EN. We have only three beneficiaries, but we are preparing to submit for phase one milestone one payment for an individual, a beneficiary of ours. However, as we go into the portal to attempt to submit for that payment, we get a notification that says at this time your EN or SVR is not permitted to make ticket payment requests at the portal. I was curious if there's guidance that someone could offer related to how we could go about submitting for a payment for this phase one milestone one payment.
Hi, James. Welcome. We welcome you as a new EN. And
what
I will do is I will ask Sharde to answer that question, because what you will need to do is submit a manual payment request and Sharde can walk you through that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, James. Yes, you will need to submit your payment manually. If you could reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk, we'll have one of our analysts that will walk you through the process.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that guidance.
You're welcome.
Thank you, James. And Rebecca.
Yes, our next question comes from Wendy Zorman. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Me now?
Yes. Hi, Wendy. Yes.
Oh, good. Hi. I have a two-part question because the end of somebody else's question made me come up with another question. So did I hear you say that texted interactions between like an employment specialist and their client or ticket holder don't count as two-way communication?
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for your question.
Thanks, Nicole.
So as it relates to payment, Okay. We will not be able to consider a text message. It has to be an email or a phone call.
Okay. Got it.
Keyword is as it relates to payments.
To payments. Okay. Yes, and your proof of relationship. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not that Social Security in general will never accept a text. Okay. Got it. The other question is, could you review for me and probably some other people too, what elements have to be on the pay stub for it to count as a pay stub? And I'm asking because I had a client who, emailed me a copy of her pay stub and like the place where it says FICA and some of those other deductions was the title was there, but there were no amounts in it. I think it got cut off and that's going to be an unacceptable stub, right? It needs to show the FICA and how much it was, right? So sorry, what has to be on the stub to be a valid stub?
Excellent question. Thank you for that. And you are right. We do need to see that information. And I pulled up my little cheat sheet so that I could make sure I hit all the marks for you. So the ticket holder name, the employer name, the pay period start and end date, the day that the check was paid, FICA withholdings, which you mentioned. And the tricky part to the FICA is every employer does it different. So. It is what it is. We struggle with it day in, day out, trying to figure out what the employers meant with the codes that they use. But if you feel like it's there, more than likely it is, and we will take a look at it. And then we also need the gross and the net earnings.
Okay, gross and net. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Wendy. Appreciate your question.
Thank you, Wendy. Okay, Rebecca, please identify the next individual with a question.
Yes, our next question comes from Gioberto Van Zandt. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, all. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Mr. G.
Hey, I was talking. I have a client who submit their check stubs through screenshots. Would that be a simple form? Okay. I seen it by your face. No?
Oh, wait. I was listening. Okay. I got distracted. Go ahead.
submits their check stubs by screenshots. Would that be a simple form to submit for ticket payment?
If we can see it.
Okay.
We have to be able to see it. So okay. I would say, you know, submit it. If the payment technician does an outreach to you requesting something that's more clear, then obviously it's not going to work. But I would, you know, it's worth trying it to see if we can get a clear submission and we can see the data when you send it over.
Thank you very much. I also sent your email. And we thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, Rebecca.
Yes, our next question comes from Tiffany. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hello, good afternoon. So I have a question about I don't think it's necessarily case specific, but I submitted a phase one milestone one payment and it got denied and said that the claim month was 24 months after the attainment, which means that this ticket holder had already, I guess, spent out her trial work period. Should I or can I go ahead and bill for phase two, or should I wait and see if it will pick up on the next e-pay?
Hi, Ms. Tiffany. Thanks for your question. So this is somewhat case specific. So the end answer is definitely reach out to the payments help desk so that they can look at your case specifically. But as it relates to the 24 months, you could submit a payment request up to 24 months after the ticket holder has earned their income.
Okay.
So what it sounds like, it may be a situation where it was just a timing issue, that you waited or that the earnings were used to satisfy the payment, after the 24-month period, which is why I recommend reaching out to the payment help desk so that they can take a good, clear look and give you a better answer.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tiffany. All right. We'd like to remind everyone we have two more individuals with their hands raised. So if you're joining via the phone and you want to ask a question, star 5. And then we'll unmute you and you press star 6 to ask a question. And if you're on MS Teams, just look to the top of your screen and look for the raise hand icon. Raise your hand. You'll be unmuted and be provided your video and ask your question. So, Rebecca, go ahead.
Yes.
And for our next person. Yes.
Our next question comes from Franceline. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. I hear you. Yes.
Okay. I have like 2, maybe 3 questions. And let's say you have a client that assigned to the portal, but they decide they don't want to work yet. So how long they should be in the portal? Because I know we have to write progress note every month, but they're not ready to work. So how long they have to be in the portal to unassign the ticket?
That is a question. Oh, hi, Franceline. Thank you for your question. I'm so sorry. I was ready to jump right in. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like your question is related to communication with the ticket holder and at what point you unassign the ticket. Is that correct?
No, it's just like call them every month, find out if they're ready to work. They will say, okay, I'm not ready yet. So it's just, because I know for the EM, we have to write note every monthly to make sure that we can communicate with the client to make sure everybody doing well. But the answer is always, I'm not ready to work yet. So how long they have to be in the portal? So for me to unassign the ticket, like when they're ready back to sign the ticket back in the portal.
That is a question for the EN service team. They can help walk you through the ins and outs and the amount of communication and the timing for when you would need to unassign the ticket if that happens.
And also, what about the clients for working? So who do the EN report it to Social Security or the client report it to Social Security? Like, do they call the SSA to let them know that they start working? Because I noticed, like, some of the clients, they usually ask me the first pay stub, do they reach out to Social Security or do they have their own portal instead of going to the SSA office to bring up this stuff?
So are you asking what are the steps to make sure that the income is reported in order for you to be able to request a payment?
Yes.
Okay. So that also is for the EN service team. They can help walk you through the steps that the ticket holder needs to take. And you can also reference the Your Ticket to Work website and the other resources, because they have a lot of good resources available to help you coach that ticket holder on how to report their wages.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes, ma'am.
Just kind of branching off on the text messaging, could we reach out Renee Clark? Did you have any updates she wanted to provide?
Hi, sorry, Nicole.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, everyone. I would just like to say that we will accept, two-way interaction via text, to mirror the TPA's requirements for, interactions between ENs and ticket holders. We will not accept one-way communication or blast text messages. Anything that is impersonal, will not be acceptable.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Impersonal.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Hopefully that's not ambiguous, right?
No, we'll figure it out.
Right. And I will put in the chat the TPA reference for everyone so that you can verify what we mean by two-way interaction. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee.
Thank you again. Okay, let's go ahead back to Rebecca.
Yes, our next question comes from Advocation. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you guys for this call. It's been really helpful. I just have a quick question and just wanted to brainstorm. We have a lot more people wanting to work, you know, in 1099 jobs or self-employment. And we have yet to figure out kind of a way to ever, like a path that would ever lead to a payment. And how do we continue to support, you know, people in that? And if anybody has any like tricks or, because oftentimes by the time they, you know, do their tax returns and less deductions and things like that, they're not earning at a level that would ever qualify for a payment.
Thank you. Would you mind restating your name again? I've missed it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And it's weird because I like logged into our Advocations team. I'm Lindsay Bracciali.
Oh, hi, Lindsay. I thought I missed it. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So for the self-employed ticket holders, you're absolutely right. You do have to wait for their earnings to be reported to SSA, which typically means you have to wait for them to file their taxes. And at this time, as it relates to payments, there's no additional information that I can provide to you. But if anyone wants to jump in, Katie, Renee, to provide any types of tips that you may be aware of, I have unfortunately nothing extra to share because we do have to wait for them to file their taxes for us to have the actual income in the system to verify it.
Thank you. Fingers crossed somebody has tips because I think it's a great pathway and there's obviously a lack of opportunity. It's just really like unsustainable. And anybody?
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. I guess we don't have anything at this time, but I'm sure that as things transpire and other ENs may have some ability to help you if anyone wants to reach out to Ms. Lindsay and give her any of your tips and tricks on how you're being successful with this. I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. We're just going to take a quick pause. And from the raised hand, just remind everyone that if you do have a question, go ahead and click the raise hand icon. Or if you're on the phone, *5. And we're going to go back to some resources that Nicole mentioned earlier. So if you have any questions after today's call, you can reach out to the provider help desk via the toll-free number that she provided. And you'll choose option 1 for the beneficiary help desk, option 2 for EM payments. And we'll put that information in the chat as well. And then you'll option 3 for the systems help desk. Now, if you'd prefer to email your questions, the email address is enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Or for questions related to ticket assignment, you may email ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. So at this time, we'll transition back to Rebecca. See if we have any raised hands.
Yes, we do, Catherine. Our next question comes from Diane. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Diane from Inroads to Opportunities in New Jersey. So on the shoulders of getting paid for self-employed ticket holders, I have a ticket holder who's been working pretty much since I started working with him on a 1099. He did have some pay stubs, real regular pay stubs that I was able to use for a P1M1 payment. And I have never gotten a subsequent payment for him. I have submitted his 1099s just for informational purposes to the through the payment portal, and the only payment I ever got was from like 2021. I've never gotten a single payment. So the fact that he has to, or that ticket holders have to file their taxes before getting a payment can be really problematic because they won't accept 1099s, although I have most of them. And as I said, I've never gotten a payment, and he's earning probably upwards of $50,000 a year. So clearly, it's not a question of not his earnings not being high enough. So I don't know if anybody has anything to say about that, but it just hasn't worked for us.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for your question. Well, your comment. I appreciate that. The only recommendation that I can give again would be to, you have the 1099s, but are you sure that he's filing his taxes?
Oh, yes. Cause he has questions for me every year about, I'm also a benefits counselor. So those are conversations that we have regularly. And yeah, he's always saying my tax prepared this and my tax prepare that. So yeah, I'm confident that he's submitting. He's paying his taxes and, taking care of that annually.
So I would recommend with this one, send this specific case over to the payments help desk so we can take a look into it. Because again, we have to have the earnings verified in the system in order to be able to process a payment request.
Right. So, okay. I'll give them a call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. And Rebecca.
Yes.
Our next question.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our next question comes from caller 8524. You are unmuted. Please press star 6 to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello?
I think they dropped off.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I think I hear someone. While we wait, we can circle back with 5678.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're 8524. Go ahead.
Tried 3 times. Tried like 3 times. Okay. Yes, my name's Erin. I'm with Rehability in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Erin.
So I've worked with several people who are self-employed over the years, and it is very painful. Often I've had to wait like, you know, a year and a half to get paid, but, you know, I'm kind of tenacious. Once I, you know, invest all that time and energy, I do want to get paid. But I did have something very quirky happen. The man was self-employed, and we had many discussions how to report income, and he understood, but then Social Security only captured data for 4 of the 12 months. And I've been told all along that, you know, you file taxes and then they divide by 12 months. And, but then, you know, on the data actually shows that he only, there were earnings for 4 of the 12 months. And so I was really confused, and I have talked to the Ticket Work help desk about it, but I know they have to go what SSA has. But yeah, I just want to say it is difficult. So good luck. You can get paid, but it's a lot of waiting for it.
Thank you, Erin.
Yep.
Thank you, Erin. Okay, we'll go to our next question. Rebecca.
Okay, our next question looks like it's coming from Exploring Your Purpose. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like to ask your question.
Greetings. This is Coach Aisha. I had 3 questions. The first question was, just to be clear, once you are no longer consider, I guess, a new provider through your period, you can only request for payments through the portal. You cannot fax anything. That's correct. Correct.
Hi, Miss Aisha. How are you?
Hi.
Yes. After you have established the point to where you are able to request a payment in the portal, then you are to request all of your payment requests through the ticket portal, unless it hits on some of those specific circumstances that would not allow you to request your payment through the portal. Sharday, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Hey, Nicole. No, that's correct. Once you have been given portal access, the only time we should receive manual payment requests if it meets those criteria we mentioned earlier, if you don't have portal access, you're terminated EN, the ticket holder is unassigned, or you did receive an actual error when attempting to submit a payment request. But if you do need assistance with portal access, you can contact the help desk. But if you have portal access, yes, all the requests should be going through the ticket portal.
Okay. And then my second question is that we're getting an influx of a lot of ticket holders that are like, we're in Georgia, so we're getting a lot that's in Alabama, that's hours away, and we're getting some that's in Florida, which I do know we do accept, you know, clients that are out, but they're saying when they call the ticket to work, our zip code is the only one that's populating. So I want to see, do you all have any organizations that were near the Georgia, Atlanta area that I could refer them to? Because we're getting a lot of, we just can't take all the influx in, and they're far away, especially if we want to do on-the-job supports. Do you have a number where we can call to try to help them navigate? Because I've tried to pull up some, but nobody's answering their phones to say they're a ticket to work in the area from some of these families.
Thank you for that question. I am going to recommend that you reach out to Ian Service to have them look at your profile. In addition, I would start there.
Okay, so just kind of send an email to Ian Services.
Yeah, I would start with Ian Service because there's a lot of moving parts to what you just mentioned, and they'd be the best first resource for you.
Gotcha. And then my last question was, is it true for us to take, we need to take that security annual test, the security awareness test annually every year for those who are working the Ticket to Work program, correct?
That is also for Ian Service. So anything on this call is specifically related to payments.
Gotcha. Well, that's kind of related to payments because I haven't been able to get paid. So and I just want to make sure I'm going through the right protocols, but I will definitely send an email. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, for our next question, Rebecca. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, our next question comes from Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like to, and ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Sandra.
Yes, how is everybody doing today?
Good.
Thank you. Well, I have three questions, actually. The first question, if you have like multiple bills from different beneficiaries, and you have to fax the information by using the portal, can you fax multiple payment requests from different beneficiaries together, or do you have to send each beneficiary payment request separate?
Hi, Ms. Sandra. I'm going to say that you need to send them all individually.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And then the second...
I have to say, hi, Nicole, this is Katie. I did answer this in the chat. So you can use one fax transaction, but the way it needs to work is that for each payment that you have pending in the portal, right, you want to request a unique cover sheet. You want to go to, you know, fax additional information, right, and that's going to give you a fax cover sheet. That fax cover sheet goes with that payment request. So you could go fax cover sheet, the information you're supplying to support it, another fax cover sheet, the information you're going to, you know, supply. You could do a stack of, I don't even know how many, some hands have done, but you can, let's say, stack 10 at a time, you know, together, as long as you have cover sheet information, and then send it through the fax machine in one transaction for you. And then our system will actually split it up and make sure that each fax cover sheet goes with the documentation behind it. So you only have to do one fax, but you do need to use multiple cover sheets because that's how we keep it separate in our system, to making sure that the information you're faxing gets to that specific payment request.
Awesome. Thank you.
So you do, please do be careful because, you know, if you accidentally, you know, if you just did one fax cover sheet and then 10 different, you know, requests with just their information, it would all just go to that one payment transaction, and then we would deny the rest, right, saying that you didn't submit the documentation. So please make sure you use those fax cover sheets because that's how we keep it all together.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And, thank you, Katie, for that tip.
Yes, because that's a lifesaver. And the second question is, what is the grace period time from when a person signs the IWP to the time that you can assign the ticket?
Hi, Sandra. That is a question for Ian Service.
Okay.
I would reach out to them to get clarification on that.
Okay, and then my last question is, in the on the form where it shows that the ticket is assigned, it'll show the assignment date. That's the date that I'm requesting to assign the ticket. But then there's another date that is generated from Social Security. When I bill, I'm only billing from the actual sign date, from the sign date of the IWP. Is that right?
From the ticket assignment date?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I don't know what just happened. Yes, when you are submitting your payment request, everything aligns with when the ticket was actually assigned to your employment network.
Okay. Now, that's the question. If say, like, the person signs the IWP on May 1st. Okay, I assign it May 5th, we'll say. In the portal, it shows, sometimes it'll show the date of May 5th for this example, but then there's another date that is adjacent to that May 5th by May 13th. I'm just making this up and I'm not understanding what that second date is for.
I would say this, go ahead, Katie.
I was saying, Nicole, let me jump in here, and I will try really hard to use your example, Sandra. So we have the actual date of the signature date, right? The date the ticket was assigned. But then we have another field where we're keeping track of your receipt date. After 14 days, if it takes you more than 14 days to report that ticket assignment to us, it is going to affect your first payable claim month. If you wait more than 14 days, if you actually sign the ticket May 1st, but you don't report it to us until May 20th, you cannot get paid for the month of May, and it is going to push back your claim month that you're eligible for to June. So there is not an actual cutoff date, but there is a date by – we have the IWP receipt date rule where you are – benefit by reporting timely. And if you do not report timely, it does affect your first payable claim month. So that's what that other column is showing to you. It is showing the date you actually assigned it in the portal. Now the ticket assignment date, right, affects the ticket holder, but the receipt date affects your payment.
Okay. So that second date is the receipt date.
That would be the day you put the ticket assignment in the portal. We track that for payment purposes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Katie and Sandra.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Rebecca, do we have any other raised hands at this time?
At this time, we have no more raised hands, no more questions.
All right, everyone. We have about roughly 13 minutes left in this call today. So if you'd like to ask a question, just go ahead and raise your hand, click the raise hand icon. If you're on the phone, press star 5. We'll give you audio access and let you know where to go from there. Okay. I don't see any raised hands, Nicole.
One just came up.
Oh, there we go. Rebecca?
Yes. Our next question comes from Janine. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Janine. Can you hear us? If you'll
Janine?
Press...
Yes. It looks like she just dropped or went away somehow.
Okay, I think I got it. Hi.
Hi. Hello.
There we go. So, hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
Hi, Janine.
Good to see you. So I have a question on when we are submitting a pay request and there are previous earnings on the 18-month look back that shows that there's previous earnings. How do I get the ticket payment to acknowledge those previous ones and deny the actual pay request that I'm sending for?
Okay, so I got your question.
Mm-hmm. So you're wanting to know when you know that you are not eligible for some, or you have a phase one exclusion based mm-hmm. on the 18-month look back tool, what steps yes. do you take to go ahead and initiate the payment process so that those payments can be denied?
Right. I had submitted a phase one milestone knowing with the previous pay stubs to show that there are previous earnings, and so that should have been denied, but somehow it got approved. And so now I'm trying to figure out how to figure out how, where's my next step? Where do I go on the next pay request? It's all very confusing to me.
Okay, so this one's very specific. I recommend reaching out to the payments help desk, and then we'll have the team take a look at it, and Shardé is going to step in here and answer your question.
Yes, I was about to say, Nicole, yeah. If you can send it over to the payments help desk because it is case specific, we can review it and send it over to the payments department, and we'll be able to follow up with you and confirm what your next eligible payment should be.
Okay, so if I submit pay stubs with previous earnings, how do I get a note to the payment processor, whoever is processing this, to let them know that there are previous pay stubs accompanying the pay stub?
So you can either include that note when you fax over the documentation. Mm-hmm. If you just want to include it when you fax over to us to say, hey, I'm including earnings that are prior to the ticket assignment date.
Okay. So in the portal where it says make notes, if I make a note there, you're not able to see that? Or is that just for us?
So the notes in the portal, you said when you put in a note in the portal?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, Nicole. Can your team see the notes from the EA? I'm not sure on that.
Hi, yes. This is Alexis. Yes, they can see those yes. notes when you put them in per case.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's in the portal where it says notes, right?
Yes, when you're submitting a claim, yes, we can see those notes.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. Okay, then I can make a note there.
Yes, I would recommend.
Yeah, but also keep in mind that, you know, the case does have to be reviewed. So the earnings do have to meet that criteria in order for it to be denied. So it's best just to send it over to us so we can confirm if it was a correct payment or if it should have been denied.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Janine.
Okay.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. All right, Rebecca, I see we have three more individuals with questions. Go ahead.
Yes, so we have our next question comes from Jill. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute, activate your video if you like, and ask your question.
Piggybacking off the last gal, when you put a note in the diary section of the ticket portal, do you guys see that? I think it's called diary, and you can type in notes. Like sometimes I've made an error, and so I didn't know how else to communicate, so I would put that in diary and send that. But
hi, Jill. Thank you for your question. I'm going to defer to Alexis or Katie because I am not sure what that looks like on the portal side.
Okay.
Hi, this is Alexis. Once the work case is submitted to us, we can't see any additional case notes. Now, if it's in diary and you're getting another fax cover page to submit more information, we might be able to see this. Unfortunately, I'm not 100% sure. But if you need to communicate something specific about a case, you should always refer back to that EN Payments Help Desk, and Shardé and her team will get the information to the payments team.
Oh, good. Okay. I haven't been using that, so I need to, because there are times when I need to fax additional information, and the only time I'm able to do that or see where I can do that at is if it's still pending. But once it's been denied and I can see that the ticket portal showing the earnings, and I don't need to resubmit the pay stubs, but I maybe need to submit a POR, is there a way just to create a cover page or something like that without it, you know, having the plus sign on a pending submission where it says fax additional information? Like, is there a way for me to fax additional information?
No, once the case is denied or once a case is paid, that case is completed. Okay. Only in a diary claim can you submit additional information for your case. If one is denied because you know, something wasn't provided, you would have to resubmit the claim again with all the documentation.
Okay. So there is in diary, there's a way to fax additional information. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. In the diaries, you can go to the more information section and you can fax. That's, you know, so you can provide what may be asked of you.
Okay.
So you can fax additional, you can get a new cover page and you can fax, you have to get a new cover page and you can fax more documents. But okay. Once the case is closed by either being paid or denied, you cannot take any other action on that particular work case and you would have to resubmit it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you, Alexis. Okay, I see we have two more, and let's see if we can get those two in. If you want to take the first one, Rebecca. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Our next question comes from Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Yes, thank you. I'm back again. My question is, is there a way, just like when you're entering earnings and you realize that you made a mistake, because every time I enter it, I'll save it and it'll show the different information that I've entered. Okay, once it's entered, it's like it's closed. In other words, I can't go back and say I want to delete it because I know I made a mistake. Is there something I'm missing, you know, like before I would submit a request and I see an error, then I can delete it instead of letting it go through to be denied?
Thank you for your question, Sandra. So I want to make sure I've got this right. So when you're submitting it, you've already saved it and you're like, oops, I have a typo. So you're wanting to know if you can go in and edit after you have saved it or...
Yeah.
Okay, that's the question. All right, that's for either Katie or Alexis. If either one of you can help, please.
Hi, this is Alexis.
Okay, I was going to let Alexis go first. You took too long, Alexis.
I was trying to find it in the user guide. So it looks like in the ticket portal user guide, when on about page 36, when you're entering earnings, it does look like there's an action side that says edit or delete. For okay. those earnings. So, you know, we can't do it in production, but if I were to log into our validation region, it looks like it's telling me I can edit or delete like a row of earnings as you're speaking of. So you should be able to do that.
Okay.
It's on page 36 of the ticket portal user guide that shows this, functionality.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Sandra, do you have your ticket portal user guide?
Yes, I do. Has it been updated? Lately.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go ahead and get one more and then we'll do our closeout and give you the next call date. Rebecca?
All right. Our last question will come from Tiffany. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hello. I'm sorry. I'm a question asker today. I just submitted a phase one milestone one payment for a ticket holder who works at a national chain of like a hardware store that's nationally known. But on their pay stubs, they do not put the pay period start and end date. They only put the pay period end date and the pay date. Is that going to be something that's going to kick out? Because I already submitted the payment this morning. Is that going to kick out because there's not a pay period start date on that pay stub?
Thank you for your question, Tiffany. That's a really good question. So before we kick it back to you, we do have internal processes to do our best to try to ascertain what those dates are. Okay. I would say in this case, since it is specific, if you can just shoot an email over to the payments help desk with that question in it, Sade will get it over to me and I'll take a look at it.
Okay, that'll work. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tiffany. Okay. We'll go ahead and move to the next slide, please. Okay. Thank you very much. We really appreciate everything today, everyone. Moving ahead, the next quarterly All-In Payments call is scheduled for August 6th from 1 to 2 p.m. And on behalf of the ticket program manager, huge thank you to SSA and the TPM payments manager, Nicole Black, and Sharday Jenkins, provider help desk manager, for the information provided on today's call. Any additional questions, comments, or suggestions for training topics, you can email EM Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. We'd love to hear from you. One last thing, all the post-call documents from today's call, the recap, the presentation, transcription, and the audio will be available in 2 weeks. So thank you again. We'll see you on August the 6th. And this concludes the May quarterly All-In Payments call. Have a great rest of your day.